You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And happy Friday to you all. You are officially On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist. Today is open phone free for all Friday, which means we can talk about anything. Well, within reason. No, you know what? Not within reason. Absolutely anything. We're not going to have any guests on the show today. Well, you are my guests. Listeners, callers, folks who've emailed me on my website, which is drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelle with two L's, therapy.com. Or folks who've also contacted me on my email address, which is docmichelle, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. And I will be reading some of those listeners' questions, helping them out with some of their issues going on. I've already gotten authorization from them to talk about this stuff, you know, on the air. And I also will be taking live calls if you want to give me a shout and you have any questions, problems, things going on. I'll try to give you some advice, help you out, put a different spin on how you may be having a perspective on life or relationships or whatever. The number to call here live on the air is 323. That's the area code 203-0815. That's area code 323-203-0815. And let me just lay it out for you. I am supposed to say that you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship. There you go. That's my duty. We do have, a talking relationship. I can give you advice. I can give you suggestions. And, of course, hopefully entertain you as well and teach you. So if you hear somebody call me up and ask me a question and it has something to do with maybe some of your issues, you might learn something. And or if you hear me read something that somebody has written me online, you might learn something as well. So let me give you my online address again. My email, docmichelle@AOL.com, docmichelle@AOL.com. And I'm going to try to get to two listeners' questions. Hannah wrote me one, and she's going to be talking about relationship red flags. What should she look for? Because she's had a series of really bad relationships. So she says, I'm not doing the right thing, I guess. So we're going to be talking to Hannah, and also I received an email from Kyle, and Kyle says he's really got low self-esteem. He's trying to deal with a lot of personal issues, and he always has, he says, since he was young, and it looks like, how old is he now? It looks like he's 32, and he says his wife is always complaining about him and how negative he is. So we'll get to those calls. Also, if we have time, I want to talk to you about how to feel better about yourself. I know it sounds like old school, you know, like 60s or 70s or 80s stuff, how to love yourself. But I mean, truly, we can't get anywhere out there in the world unless we're okay with who we are inside, because what we're going to be doing is projecting our own nasty stuff and assuming the wrong things in what other people are saying. So I would really like to get to this, how to really like yourself or try to love yourself if you can. Love's kind of a stretch for many of us because, you know, we think it's narcissistic, except for the narcissists. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So we're gonna get to that, hopefully, by the end of the show. So maybe we can, take some calls and do whatever. All right. So, like I said, today is open phone, free for all Friday. Open phone Friday. So what we do is we talk about issues going on. And again, if you'd like to, you know, give me a call, we can do that. And then it's all good. It's all good. So that way we can, chat with each other Number again, 323, area code 203-0815. And I've been finding lately, when people come to see me in their relationship issues, that a lot of people are blaming the other person. I just wanted to share this with you. This is something I'm seeing. It's kind of a trend that I'm seeing lately. Well, he's not doing this enough for me, and he's not doing that enough for me, and vice versa. Well, she's nagging. She's a bitch. She's always whining. She's always complaining. I'm seeing this a lot, you know, and I don't know what's going on. Do you think it's like stress from the economy? Do you think it's stress from our world? Because it's kind of scary to take responsibility for our own feelings and thoughts and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. But this is what I've been seeing a lot lately, and I just wanted to kind of put it out there. Because when you're having an argument with your partner, spouse, or significant other, or whoever you're with, it's always really a good idea to take a look at what you might be doing, your part in it. Yeah, sure. I mean, we can blame other people. We can blame our partners. And yeah, they do annoying things. And hurtful things, and it's really important to express that. But a lot of times, you know, you got to take a look at what you're putting out there. You know, you have to really observe yourself and what you might be doing to contribute to their getting upset with you, and take responsibility for it. Really important to do that. Take your own responsibility. And that way, if you do, then you'll be kind of open to listening to what they have to say. And that opens up communication. So if somebody says, you know, you're really a slob, or you're really not doing your share around here in this apartment or this house, you're not doing what you need to do to help out. So what I think it's important to do is to take a look at what you're not doing and admit to it. Cop to it. You see? So just an idea. It's just a trend I'm seeing, and I don't know what that is. Why do you think that? You know what? I think that's a really good question. If you want to give me a call or answer on my website or at my email address, why do you think people aren't taking responsibility for their actions and thoughts and their behaviors? Why do you think that's happening? I'd like to find that out. That'd be really cool. So you can write me. Yeah. That's a great idea. Let me know at docmichelle@AOL.com. docmichelle@AOL.com. Why aren't people taking responsibility for their actions? Why are they putting it on other people? Why are they complaining about their partners? You know, what's going on with that? I'd really like to find out. All right. Anyway, let's talk about, you know what? I'm going to give out the number one more time, and I'm going to run into how to like yourself a lot better first, because I really wanted to get to this, because I have a lot of people complaining about, you know, they're not feeling good enough. You know, they're not feeling enough about themselves. So let me give out the number one more time, and then we'll jump into this. The number's 323-203-0815. All right. So how to like yourself? How to like yourself? How do you kind of find something within yourself? I know we all have problems. We all don't feel well. There's not a human being on this earth that doesn't doubt who they are, doesn't feel good about themselves. Really, really. No matter what kind of a wonderful upbringing you come from, we're all going to get messages from teachers, brothers and sisters, friends. If we have the most wonderful parents in the world, we're still going to have some kind of doubt about who we are or question ourselves. And that's nice because it keeps us on track. All right. So how to like yourself? Number one, stop all criticism. Criticism never changes a thing. Would you accept yourself exactly as you are? Everybody changes. Stop criticizing yourself. When you criticize yourself, your changes are negative. When you approve of yourself, your changes are positive. That's the way it goes. That's the way it is. So stop all criticism. And like I said, it's really important for you to kind of take responsibility sometimes for your actions. What a concept. All right. And I've got a couple of other suggestions for you as well, but we do have a caller coming in. So we're going to get back to how really to care for yourself. We're going to see if we can take this caller here. Good morning. You're live on the air with Dr. Michelle. Let's try it again. All right. Good morning. You're live on the air with Dr. Michelle. Nope, not yet. Let's try it up again. Hi, you're live on the air with Dr. Michelle. I think he keeps zapping out. It says Japan. I would love that. I don't know if I can speak your language, though. Japan? Arigato? This is the beauty of being on internet radio. Ah, let's try this. Arigato, it's Dr. Michelle.
Hi, Dr. Michelle. How are you?
Wow, you speak English. Do you know that it
yes.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from San Francisco.
Oh, very good. Do you know that it came up on my screen that you were calling from Japan?
Wow.
I just know a few Japanese words. I know arigato, and I know hi.
And that's about it. A lot up here. Yeah.
Well, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How
good.
Are you?
I'm great. This is Free for All Friday, where we get to talk about most anything that's on your mind. So what is your name, and how can I help you?
Well, my name's Mike.
Hi, Mike.
And how you doing? I'm 27 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm having a problem feeling good about myself.
Okay. That's interesting, because I was just talking about how to like yourself.
I was listening.
Cool. Oh, very good. Okay, good. So you kind of responded to that. And I do have some more ideas that I'll share with everybody, too. But now, why do you think you're feeling this way?
Well, I'm a paralegal.
Okay.
And
it's a good
job. I work for an attorney.
Yeah.
And I work very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend always criticizes me about not being mature enough.
Okay.
And she says I always take it personally.
Okay.
Which I don't really think I do.
Okay.
But I've been in this relationship for a while,
okay.
And it makes me feel really less of myself.
Really, really,
I feel really,
really
down about.
Huh? Are you feeling down about yourself?
I think I'm mature. I think I'm mature. I have a job.
Yeah. How's the job going?
I rent an apartment.
How's the job going?
Job's going all right.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of hard work, and I bust my butt.
Yeah.
And it's just, I just feel a little insecure.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I just feel insecure.
All right. So you feel insecure. You don't feel really good about who you are. You don't feel like you have a lot of self-worth, maybe at work or in your relationship as well. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly.
Do you get offended easily, do you think?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I take things wrong sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I think I take things too personally.
Okay.
But
all right.
It just feels strange. I'm a little nervous right now.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
I've never really talked on the radio.
Okay. Before. Well, you're doing great. You're doing great. Just relax and let's be honest. And you know, it's just between you and me, right here on International Talk Radio. No, Mike. I'm just pulling your leg here. But is your girlfriend? What are some of the things maybe she's doing that's making you feel, not real good about yourself, or that's making you get offended? Or you said you got offended easily sometimes, and you feel hurt sometimes. What does she do?
She, I think one of the main things she does, she goes out with her girlfriends.
All right.
And she goes drinking with her girlfriends.
Yeah.
And she stays out late, and I kind of feel like she doesn't want to be with me. And we don't live together, but we have an exclusive relationship.
That's good.
But it feels strange. It makes me feel insecure.
Do you go out with your buddies sometimes?
Occasionally, but not,
okay.
not a lot.
Okay.
Not a lot.
So she's not...
I work 10 hours a day.
Wow.
So
you're pooped.
Five
when you
days
come home.
A week.
So you're one of those guys.
What?
You're one of those guys that comes home and just chills out and goes online or plays video games and just wants to relax, right?
Well, I enjoy movies.
Oh, okay, that's great.
And
so
I like taking her out and going to a movie.
So you guys are together a lot of the time, and she has told you that she's faithful and shown you that she's faithful, but you're just feeling a little bit insecure because sometimes when she goes out with her friends, maybe she stays a little too late. And when you ask her how she is or what, did she have a good time, you're not accusing her and saying, what did you do? Did you hit on any guys? You're not accusing her, are you?
Well, maybe.
Oh.
I mean, she goes out at least once a week.
Oh, okay, that's all right. That's cool. That you got to do that. You guys aren't living together. You're not getting married. You have your own life, but you're in an agreed, committed relationship. So do you feel she's cheating on you?
I don't think so.
Okay,
no,
all
I
right.
I don't think that.
All right.
I think she just likes having a good time. Why can't she have a good time with me?
Have you asked her that?
Well, yeah.
Okay. What does she say when you say, are you going out because you want to be with other people and don't want to be with me? I mean, how does she respond when you kind of ask her those questions?
Well, she says, you know, honey, I'm with you. I mean, we're together.
Yeah.
But I enjoy going out with my friends.
Okay.
So it's almost like a role reversal. Maybe I should start playing games with her. Maybe
I should go out with
my friends.
No. Games, that's BS. You don't want to do games. That's passive aggressive.
No.
Don't do that. I don't like games. Honesty is the best way to go. And I think what you should do, not to get back at her, but maybe it would be cool since you guys aren't, you know, living together or married or whatever. You're committed. She gets to go out and enjoy her friends. She gets to have friendships. I mean, one of the worst things you can do if you're with somebody is to start trying to pull them away from their friends. You know what I'm saying? Because that'll...
And I don't say that.
Okay, all right. And not take it personally. If she comes home or... Well, that's right. She's not living with you. But if she gets together with you and she's with you a lot and lets you know she really wants to be with you and is having a great time and, you know, you're feeling like she's not cheating on you, there's something going on within you that's making you feel a little doubtful about yourself. And you mentioned to me a little earlier that you work really hard and you're what? You work with attorneys. You're a paralegal, right? Your attorney's bosses make you feel like you're not doing enough or something like that. Let me just ask you this. What kind of messages did you get from your parents when you were growing up and maybe still do? In other words, how were you treated as a kid? What did you feel about yourself?
My dad always kind of he never thought that I was smart enough as my brother and my sister.
Okay.
And my mom said that I need to be more responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I think back, I don't know. I guess it would make me feel like insecure, mm-hmm. Like I wasn't smart enough, and. Mm. I think I'm very smart. I'm working on my my legal degree.
Great.
You're
in law school. Good for you.
So I do think I am smart enough.
Yeah.
And
good.
I don't know whether she's supporting me the way she should be supporting me. I mean,
mm-hmm.
she comes over and spends the night. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. I mean, we have fun.
Okay.
Our sex life is good.
Good.
But. I don't know.
There's something
going
on.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe, and this is just kind of basic psychology, or do you think maybe you bought into some of those old messages of you needed to be more responsible and you're not as smart as your brother or sister and maybe you're not enough for folks?
Well,
yeah. You were criticized a lot, it sounds like. Yeah.
That could be it.
Yeah.
That could be it.
I mean, that's really an important thing. You have to take a look, you know, at where you're coming from, the messages you got from your family. And the messages that you got, it sounds to me like where you are not as good as your brother and sister. You have to work a little harder. You have to try. And if those messages are just straightforward, said out loud from our parents, that really is tough. And sometimes we get messages, they don't even have to say things. It's just looks or criticisms. You know what I'm saying? You need to be more responsible. You know, your brother and sister are doing this and you're not. You know, so maybe you kind of need to take a look at the messages you got and take a look at the truth of who you are now. All right, you maybe are not, in other words, you can shoot down all of those messages that you got by, and this is just an idea. I always have people write down things. Shoot down some of those ideas when they come up. When you think to yourself, I'm not good enough or I'm not responsible or whatever, write it down on the opposite side and say, I am responsible. I work a full-time job. I'm in law school. I'm doing the best I can. You're doing the best you can, right?
Yeah.
I think I am. You're bringing in income.
Yeah.
You're supporting yourself. You have a decent relationship. Sounds to me like she's a pretty decent lady, and you guys are pretty serious, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, we're in a committed relationship.
Okay, cool.
I mean,
so here's the thing.
I don't think he's having sex with anybody else.
Right, okay, no. Well, here's the thing, Mike. Yeah. What I think is a really good idea is for you to write down all of those things that you think will counter all those negative messages that you have within yourself. So the reality is you are responsible, and list why. The reality is you are a good guy, and list why. You're taking care of things. You're a bright guy. You're working full-time. You have a good relationship. You're on your way. You're a young guy, so you're on your way. All those things that you feel about you, kind of take a look at where those ideas came from, like I said, when you were growing up. You know, you might even be, as we go through life, we have experiences as well with teachers who put us down. We become more sensitive to people who criticize us if our family has always criticized us. So the older we get, if we haven't worked it out and we still don't think we're okay, when people criticize us, we get worse. We take it in more.
Yeah, my dad was very critical.
Okay. So, you know, if you're hanging on to that, you got to clarify it in your mind that that's not the truth of who you are. And I've said that. So let me just give you some ideas also how to maintain some better self-esteem for yourself, okay?
Okay.
All right. Would you do a favor for me and celebrate your strengths? celebrate all those achievements you made and are making and plan to be making? You are strong.
Yeah.
You've been through a lot, okay? Look, forgive yourself. We've all made mistakes, right? You beat yourself up over stuff you've done, right?
Yep.
Okay. That's a very common thing with people who don't have great self-esteem. They beat themselves up. They go through scenarios of things they should have done in relationships with their parents, with their brothers and sisters, with the whatever, friends, teachers, whatever. Work, you know. Don't beat yourself up. Forgive yourself and move on. You know they were mistakes that you made, so don't make those mistakes again. Try to be a better person. Forget about it. Move on. Okay? Do not dwell on your weaknesses. All right? We all have weaknesses. We all have certain things that we're not all perfect, whatever that even means. Everybody has a certain weakness. Okay? Just be the best person you can for you. And you sound like a good guy. Just change the way you talk to yourself. Stop putting yourself down. Stop those voices.
Yeah, there's that little voice in me that always says, I'm not good enough.
Right. And, you know, when I talk about don't dwell on your weaknesses, because everybody has them, we all have stuff we do, don't judge yourself against unreasonable standards. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be perfect. I mean, you know, when you're in this society and you're in law school and you're working as a paralegal, you're trying as best you can, there's a lot of standards. There's a lot of competition out there. So do the best you can.
Yep,
do the best you can. You're in a really tough career. You know, it's really, there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, really competing. It's a very heavy competitive career you're in. So beating yourself up for your weaknesses is really self-defeating. Use all that energy that you have when you're thinking, oh, I'm not good at, oh, my girlfriend might be cheating, oh, I'm not. Use that energy for more positive thoughts about you, okay?
Okay.
And remember, people with higher self-esteem, Mike, they're able to accept. They're able to accept and learn from their own mistakes. Next, move on. We've all screwed up. We've all hurt people. We've all done things. You know what you've done.
Right.
Beat yourself up for a while. Correct it. Change it. Don't do it again, and move on. You know.
Okay.
And be confident. Yep. Be confident. You may feel that being confident is obnoxious or conceited. No, just be confident. You don't have to be obnoxious or conceited. Be more confident about
maybe
who you are.
Maybe that's what I'm lacking.
Don't be devastated by criticism. We always get criticized every day. That way we have a contrast. You know, and if you're working for someone, you're going to get criticized.
All the time.
Okay.
All the time.
It sounds like it's tough where you're working. But you can have a decent rapport with the attorney you work for, right? Or attorneys you work for. You have a decent rapport. You can say, okay, so you can say, look, here's what I've done, and I'll be able to probably finish this by this time. And I'm really working my butt off for you, and, you know, I'm here for you and all that. So when they're criticizing and all that, they know that you're working. You're there for them. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Michelle.
You got it.
You gave me a lot to think about.
Good. Good. Write down those things I suggested.
You gave me a lot to think about.
Good, Mike. And be sure, just don't be too defensive when people question you. Don't be so sensitive to slight. It's okay.
Okay.
Know where you came from on that. All righty?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Have a great day.
So
thank you for calling.
Can I email you?
Sure,
can
you can.
Email
sure,
you?
Sure. You can find me at docmichelle@AOL.com. docmichelle@AOL.com. Let me know how things came out. Okay?
Great. I will.
Right.
And thank you so much. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. I love you. And if you want some help, consider calling a therapist in San Francisco. All right? Call somebody.
I will.
Ask your general practitioner if they may have a really good therapist that they would suggest you to see. How's that?
Yeah.
All right.
I think I may do that. Thank you.
Great. You sound like a great guy. Take care. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Doc.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right. That's cool. Mike, sound like a good guy. All right, if you want to call in, if you have any questions, like Mike just did, about anything, today is open forum, free-for-all Friday. We're talking about just about anything. 323-203-0815. The area code 323-203-0815 is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, right here on the couch with you. And like I said, we were just talking to Mike about self-esteem. Let me lay out some more ideas for you. If you're not feeling really good about yourself, it's really a good idea to think about what people with high self-esteem do. Okay? People with high self-esteem are able to accept and learn from their mistakes. Take responsibility. That's the biggie I've been talking about today. Being confident. You don't have to be narcissistic or conceited. Just be confident. Don't be devastated by criticism. We all get criticized. Learn from it. If you don't think it's right or valid, cool. Take a look at it, feel it, see what you can do to make it better, and move on. Don't be too defensive. When somebody questions you, don't be all defensive. That is one of the biggest turnoffs in relationships that I hear when people come in to see me and they're in a committed relationship. You know, they get really defensive. What do you mean by that? You know, then you got your partner walking on eggshells all the time. That sucks. All right. don't feel like you have to put other people down, project your own nasty stuff onto other people just because you're not happy about who you are. People with high self-esteem are open and assertive. When they want to communicate their needs to somebody, they open up and they say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. Not whiny and, oh, you hurt me. No, I'm feeling like not comfortable, or I'm feeling sad when you do this because of this. How can we fix it? How can we work this out? Okay? People with high self-esteem are not really worried about failing or looking stupid. Who cares? That's how we learn. That's how we move on. We get strength. We fail. We screw up. We get fired. We drop out of a class. We fail. We all do sometimes. I know a lot of our parents pressure us that it's not okay to do that. Don't fail. But sometimes we do. We're stressed. We back down. We don't carry through. Next, pick yourself up. Do it again. A lot of people with high self-esteem aren't really destructively critical of themselves, haunting themselves. Like Mike sounded like he had a lot of stuff going on, you know? Also, people with high self-esteem are not aggressively driven to prove themselves. That's the whole, you know what I'm saying? You keep pushing and push. You see, they're going to like me. You see, they are going to think that I'm worthwhile. They are going to respect me. You know, it's all about you. You got to respect you first. So if you got all these messages when you were young that you weren't enough and you weren't smart enough, as Mike was telling me, you know, you got to take a look. Who are you trying to prove that you're great and you're wonderful too? Other people out there who you've, you know, it's transference. Mom and Dad used to say that I'm not good enough, so I'm going to prove to the world I am. Well, sometimes it's great motivational therapy. Try to prove to yourself you're okay. Yourself. Nobody else. And give me a break, folks. Laugh at yourself. Do not take yourself too seriously. Do you know how healthy it is when you say stuff or if you're thinking something and it's kind of crazy and you go, God, I am such an idiot. I can't believe I said, even in front of your friends, if you say something and it's off the wall and your friends are going, what? That's crazy. Laugh at yourself. Go, hey, it's just, I'm just putting it out there. All right. So these are some of the things that really people with healthy self-esteem do, you know? So you have to just think about that and say some affirmations. All righty, let's move on. We've done a lot of self-esteem. I want to talk to Hannah. Hannah wrote me an email a couple of days ago, and I shall read it to you. She's given me authorization to say this on the air, so I'll answer her question. Dear Dr. Michelle, I seem to keep getting into relationships with guys who act like they're ready for a serious relationship, but turn out to be losers. Okay, are there some things I should look for that may indicate that certain guys aren't ready or may end up hurting me? Hannah. Well, I don't know the kind of guys you're picking. I don't know what kind of upbringing you've had and what messages you've gotten about how you should be treated, excuse me, or respected, Hannah. I don't know the messages that you received. There's not enough information here. Sometimes ladies and men pick up messages that they're not good enough and from wherever, whatever, and they keep attracting bad people. They keep attracting the people that are going to hurt them because that's what they're used to. They've been hurt. So you have to break out of that addictive cycle. Also, a lot of people who keep attracting people that hurt them really enjoy being victims. So if you're in that thing, hey, stop it. Snap out of it. You know? Just snap out of it. All right. So unless you're in it for a fling or, you know, whatever. If you're in, it sounds like to me, Hannah, you're in to looking for a guy for a serious relationship. So if you're serious about finding that special someone, and you're always asking, what, you know, what went wrong? What's the deal with these guys? There may be some red flags out there that these guys are giving you. So let me give you some suggestions. Okay. Now, I don't know if some of these guys you're attracting do some of these things, but these are little red flags that maybe you should take a look at. Number one, this is really an important thing. If he is fresh out of a relationship, that is a red flag. Because you're going to be a rebound. Rebound. How many times have you seen this happen? Timing can be everything, Hannah. So when you could potentially get involved with the rebound relationship, it may be time to move on. All right, just take a look at it. Find out. You got to find out from guys how long they've been out of a relationship. Because you don't want somebody who's got to have somebody right away. That's really needy, and that's, you don't want somebody like that. Very rare when you're the victim of a rebound and it's going to last. They occasionally do work out for the best, but it's usually one of the relationship red flags to be really cautious of. Okay, because look, Hannah, if you've ever been through a breakup, you know it takes a long time to completely recover. So you don't want to be used to help someone recover from a relationship. If you're looking for a serious relationship, it's not going to go anywhere. It just makes sense. So that's, you don't want to be with somebody who's using you temporarily to fill his loneliness. He may not even realize it. You see? There's a lot of people that just, oh my God, gotta fill the gap, gotta fill the gap. All right? So that's a really important one. Find out how fresh they are out of a relationship. Something else that's really important too is excessive parental attachment. Mommy's boy. It's one thing to love your mom and dad, okay? But Hannah, if you have a guy who has an excessive relationship with their parents when they're an adult, excessive like means, you know, being a mama's boy or being a daddy's girl or, you know, or having your parents as your best friends. I know, if you're a parent and you have kids, you don't want to think of your kids as leaving and moving on, but they do have lives and they have to move on and find normal relationships outside of that. We just teach them. You as parents teach them how to have normal social relationships so they can move on, find a healthy partner, and have a great life. So as somebody who lets their parents influence them in every facet of their life, just run the other way. Okay, Hannah? Excessive parental attachment is not great in a marriage either. Because, Hannah, if you're with a guy, he'll probably put his parents and his family members ahead of you. And that you're done. When you get into a marriage or relationship, really serious committed relationship, that's the number one deal. That's it. That's number one. Okay? All right. Another red flag, Hannah. If he always talks bad about his ex. Now, I'm not talking about the guy who's recently even fresh out of a relationship. I'm talking about the guy who always talks about his ex and talks badly about him. And he may not like his ex-girlfriend or ex-wife or whatever, but, you know, there's no reason he should continue this ongoing verbal assault. You know, no matter how bad the relationship was, you know, if this guy isn't able to shut up and move on, then he's got some problems. He's not only offering too much information, makes him look tacky. Makes him look resentful, unwilling to take responsibility for his shortcomings. So you want to be with the guy who can take responsibility. So that's a big red flag. In other words, if somebody's talking really bad about his ex, if this relationship with him doesn't work out, is he going to be talking bad about you to other ladies? So be aware of a guy who talks too much about past relationships or exes in general. That's a drag. That's really a drag, especially if it's all negative. You know, you may be with somebody who's got a lot of unresolved anger. Ew! You don't want that. He's going to put that crap on you. Okay, another red flag, Hannah, for you. Here you go. If a guy is moving too quickly, that's what I call the creepy factor. So if he's moving at the speed of light when trying to win you over, that's a creepy factor. That means he's probably uncomfortable being himself or by himself, or he's looking for someone to solve his problems. So if somebody is asking for intimacy or marriage a little too quickly, or really too much information, it sounds too desperate, it's kind of creepy. You may think it's really warm and wonderful if you go out with a guy and he's really telling you all this stuff and opening up about himself. You know, it's really good to have somebody with boundaries who takes his time to open up information. I'm not talking about someone who's closed and is not going to reveal stuff, but who kind of slowly lets you know who he is and about it. Somebody who has just too much information on the first couple of months, that's the creepy factor. It's kind of unattractive, clingy, and it's just, you know. Anyway, that's another idea. Now let's see what else. I jotted down some ideas here. Oh, yeah, here's a big one. If you start to see a guy, Hannah, and he doesn't invite you over to his place, forget about it. Pull a 180 on him. Go the other way. You know, if he's quick to suggest hanging out at your place, but he never offers up his own digs, this could be a sign of concealment. It's definitely to be considered as a relationship red flag. This is a biggie. Because maybe, I mean, you know, think about it. Yeah, maybe his other house includes a family he's not telling you about, his home. Maybe he's a hopeless slob. And his place looks like a hurricane. Oh, you don't want to hook up with somebody like that unless all you want is a hookup. You don't want to be with somebody on a long-term basis who, you know, the cold pizza boxes and clothes all over the floor. Never inviting you over could mean, you know, he's cheating on you. He's cheating on somebody else. Or he's really embarrassed of something. Okay? You want a potential future partner to be open and honest with you about simple things. How does he live? You want to see how he lives. You know? Also, if somebody's, you know, living in a place that looks like a hurricane, it's kind of a reflection of where their mind's at. Cluttered? Cluttered? Complicated? I mean, they don't have to be OCD, you know, and have perfectly clean, spotless place. That's creepy, too. But, I mean, you know, some semblance of neatness and organization in their life. So if they never invite you over, that's a big red flag. All right. Also, another biggie, and this kind of has to do with, you know, having mom and dad as their best friends. This is a red flag, Hannah, right here. If you're a guy, now you say that you're 25. Okay. All right. You're still young. But if a guy who you're with is in his late 20s, mid-late 20s, is still at home, you know, you might just kind of look at it as a red flag. Look, more and more adults are still living at home these days. I don't know what your situation is. You didn't indicate that to me. I don't know if you're, you know, living in your own apartment or whatever, but it's tough. The economy sucks for a lot of folks. Young adults are really taking it in the shorts because, you know, they're really striving and they're getting laid off. So many companies are laying people off these days. So if it's, you know, if it's more convenient, you have parents who are decent, they'll let you back in the house for a while until you get back on your feet. It is kind of a relationship red flag, though, because guys who still live at home are usually in a hurry to, not in a hurry, rather, to grow up. They're not in a hurry to move on. You know? They're not in a hurry to become independent. They're not in a hurry to become more financially responsible. So, if those are the kind of traits you really want in a future partner, Hannah, I would go, okay, cool. He lives with his parents. But, I mean, again, you have to really look at the situation. The only time it might be acceptable for a guy to be living at home is if he's taking care of, you know, really sick parents, or one of his parents is really ill and he's kind of there hanging out because there's not other siblings and they can't afford a caregiver or whatever. So if the parents are really, really old or they've fallen on hard times or whatever, you can give them a break. You know, you can give them a break for that. But somebody living with their parents in their late 20s, 30s, and for a while, you got to take a look at that. So there you go, Hannah. Those are just some relationship red flags that I want you to check out. Hopefully I helped you out. If you have any more questions, you can email me at docmichelle@aol.com or find me on my website. Hannah, or anyone else out there listening, it's Dr. Michelle Therapy at AOL.com. It's Dr. Michelle with two L's Therapy at AOL.com. All righty. I have another question that I'm going to save, actually. This is from Kyle. And Kyle talks about that his wife is complaining that he's always so negative, and then he's always assuming the worst about people. And he's, you know what, I'm going to answer him a little bit. I'm going to help him out, because I did call him and ask for his authorization. So you know what, I'm going to give him a little help. Okay, let me just read this to you. Hey, I'm changing my mind today. What can I tell you? It's one of Free-for-All Friday. Open phones. Dear Dr. Michelle, my wife complains I'm always so negative and that I assume the worst about people and that things are going to happen. And they're not going to turn out well. I've had a tough upbringing. My dad used to hit me and my brother, and my mom wasn't around, nor did she ever help defend us. I was the victim of a hit-and-run car accident, and my back is always hurting. I can't afford surgery right now because I was laid off at my job 3 months ago. Oh, Kyle. Oh, honey. How can I not be negative with everything that's happened in my life? Well, I hear you. I hear you. A lot of crap happens. And, you know, we just have to try to keep functioning. I'm so sorry you're having to deal with this. You know, we kind of all go through great times in our lives, and sometimes we have to, you know, cowboy up, cowgirl up, and go through the tough times and try to work through it. So let me just tell you this, Kyle, really, you know, briefly. Language and thoughts that we have, it really colors our experience. You know, the thoughts that we have and the types of words we use, They can really alter our life and how we perceive life. So you're trying to get through stuff. Hopefully you're collecting some kind of benefits because you were laid off your job. I know you're in pain. I know you had a tough background and all that. But you might be able to change your language. Research has found that people who speak, different languages may see the same things differently based on the words their language uses. So if you can kind of alter your language, this is horrible. I'm hurting all the time. I'm the victim. See, I see here in your letter, it says, I was the victim. Yeah, you were. Move on from that. You know what you experienced. It sucked, it sounds like. So when your self-talk is negative, you will definitely perceive things as more stressful. So when you tell yourself something is difficult or unfair, sometimes it's unfair. It becomes more stressful, though, to deal with than if you tell yourself it's a challenge. I'm going through a challenge right now. Right? That's better than it's unfair. Life sucks. It's better to tell yourself this is a test. This is only a test. If you're religious or spiritual, this is God speaking. This is only a test. For the next several months, you'll be given a tone. Bear with it. So using self-talk that's optimistic rather than pessimistic has stress management benefits. You'll be more productive. You'll feel better. You'll have less pain. This has all been proven by research. All right? So use some self-talk. So, okay, here's what we do. You get a piece of paper. All right, Kyle? Draw a line down the middle of it. On the left side, say, things I complain about. All right, you have in the letter here, your back hurts. Hopefully you're managing that somehow. You said you can't pay for surgery, but hopefully you're getting some kind of management. Physical therapy? Hopefully you're going to go to a doctor if you can. Try to just get some physical therapy or meds to help you, manage the pain. Tylenol's good. Anyway, you said that you had a rough upbringing. Write that on the left column. Things I'm complaining about. I lost my job. The economy's horrible. And then on the right side of the column, put some optimistic things. Not, unreasonable stuff that you're not going to be able to buy into or believe, but put some things on the right side of the column that says, for instance, I had a bad upbringing. My parents were horrible to me. I was abused. But right side of the column, reality. Reality. I'm all grown up. I'm a responsible human being. I'm putting that behind me. I'm moving on. Not everybody in the world's going to abuse me or treat me like that. The reality. It was difficult. But you know what? This was a life test. That's what you put in the right column. The positive reality of it. That's the reality. Left column. Got laid off my job 3 months ago. Right column. I'm looking for another opportunity. This is an opportunity for me maybe to get yet but another job or get into another career. I'm collecting benefits. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to look into something else that might be really great for me. On the right-hand side of the column regarding the car accident. I'm so sorry that hit and run. That sucks. And I'm sorry you're in pain. But maybe you can find a job that has some health benefits to it too. Sometimes. Get a little more help on that end. Do things to help yourself. Don't stress yourself. Don't strain yourself. So on the right hand of the column, I'm not going to stress myself out because I know I'm having pain. I'm going to manage this the best way I can. I'm going to get a little exercise, but no stress exercise that's going to hurt my back worse. I'm going to take good care of myself nutritionally. I'm going to get a lot of sleep. I'm not going to worry about this because I know that I'm taking care of myself and I'm a positive guy. You see what I'm talking about? It's all about growing. So, Kyle, if you have any other questions or anything like that, you give me a shout. Go ahead, write me on my email address, docmichelle@aol.com. Hopefully I helped you out a little bit. Just put a spin on your thinking and your language. That helps you a lot. Or you can give me a call on the air next week if you like. All righty. Wow. It's already time to go. And there's my music. It's Dr. Michelle. You can stay on the couch if you like, though. It's been a pleasure having you on my couch. Have a great day. TJ McCormick is up next with one of his fabulous shows, as usual. Love to hear from you. If you want to, I'll go on to my website, drmichelletherapy.com. Have a great day and do take care of yourself. Bye-bye.